Americans, I humbly and gratefully accept your nomination for the presidency of the United States. Are you ready to elect the next president of these United States?
Donald Trump will build the wall.
Do you want to help make America one again?
All lives matter!
Those three greatest threats are Osama, Obama, and your mama.
I feel like the anchovy on Ivanka's Caesar salad.
What the hell's going on out here? In this race for the White House, I am the law and order candidate.
I'm Todd Zwillick, live in Cleveland on the last night of this Republican National Convention. This is the Takeaways Convention call. We are just adjacent to the Q Center for this live call-in special where we make you the delegate. You've been with us all week. You know the drill. Your calls, your reactions to Donald Trump, to the rest of the convention, to the speeches that you heard tonight. The number is 800-543-2543. That's 800-543-2543. We want you to call in, give us your reactions to everything that you heard tonight, especially on Donald Trump, the Republican nominee. Joining me for the rest of this hour, Sandra Ziegler. She's a delegate from Texas, a pro-Cruz delegate. Hi, Sandra.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You just listened to Donald Trump and his acceptance speech. Now we need to warn people that you are not a Donald Trump supporter. We'll start it there. How are you feeling?
I was hoping to hear different things from him tonight. So I was disappointed by some of the things that he said. But not too shocked about the general law and order type message that he was delivering tonight.
Ted Cruz, your preferred candidate, your senator from Texas, blew up this convention in a lot of ways and got booed off the stage last night. You attended a breakfast with him. We're going to talk about that this morning, where he defended his decision not to endorse Donald Trump. So the conservatives like you and conservatism looks like it's trying to hunker down and survive this Trump phenomenon.
That's probably a pretty good analogy right now. I tell you, it's been a crazy 24 hours. By the time that breakfast was over this morning, I felt like I'd already lived a whole day. It was a roller coaster ride. The tension couldn't have been any higher when he walked in that room to defend his speech from the night before.
We're going to talk more about that breakfast because you were there sitting right next to Rafael Cruz, Ted Cruz's father. Ted Cruz got heckled. He reacted, and he is planning 4 years out. Ted Cruz is talking about 2020, and we're going to talk about that. Let's get one call in here, one or two, before we have to go to a break. It's Stan in Queens. Stan, welcome.
How are you? Unbelievable.
Great
night. Basically, the same thing he said all along, reforms. We're going to make changes right away, quickly. Doesn't say what he's going to do. This is the Trump we all know. It's basically the same thing. There is no basic plan, and that's what's going to happen throughout the campaign. He'll go after Mrs. Clinton, but nothing basic plans and so forth. I was not surprised for what he had to say. And I was disappointed, I think, as the lady who basically said, same old stuff, no basic stuff, nothing solid to say. Just
so, Stan, you don't buy it when Donald Trump, lots of politicians make big promises, but he's making sweeping promises about the military and about terrorism and about veterans and about Social Security, and you're having none of it, I think.
Absolutely not. He has to work with a Congress and a Senate, and if there's an election and it's Democrats, forget about it. He's finished. So I don't think this is going to happen, but let's wait and see what the Democrats do next week.
All right. And we're going to be talking about the Democrats' convention in Philly next week, where we are all headed. And this show will continue in Philadelphia. We're going to go to a short break since Donald Trump's speech ran long and the balloon drop kind of blew through our normal format here. That is the prerogative of the Republican nominee. He's allowed to blow through a break. That's all right. We're going to be back in just a minute on Convention Call Live from the Republican National Convention. I'm Todd Zwillick, joined by Sandra Ziegler, pro-Cruz delegate. Stay with us.
You're listening to Convention Call Live from the 2016 Republican Convention in Cleveland from The Takeaway. Call us on 1-800-543-2543, tweet us at The Takeaway, and be part of the conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/The Takeaway. This is Convention Call with Todd Zwillick. Call us on 1-800-543-2543. That's 1-800-543-2543.
The crime and violence that today afflicts our nation will soon, and I mean very soon, come to an end. Our convention occurs at a moment of crisis. Decades of progress made in bringing down crime are now being reversed.
Penetrating our weak border security system and committing serious crime.
That means restoring law and order.
The vast majority of Americans today do not feel safe.
There can be no prosperity without law and order.
Law and order on the floor of the Republican National Convention, one of the themes tonight. Making America One Again was the main theme. Law and order, probably the biggest theme as Donald Trump accepts the nomination from the Republican Party. This is Todd Zwillick. You're listening to Convention Call from The Takeaway, an abbreviated convention call on most of our stations throughout the nation because Donald Trump's speech went past that 11 p.m. Eastern hour, as you might expect it to do. But we're still taking your calls, 800-543-2543, to reach us, to be part of this conversation, because we want your reaction to everything that you heard tonight. With me, of course, Sandra Ziegler. She's from Texas, a pro-Cruz delegate whose guy did not win the election and didn't succeed really in upending this convention, although he did cause a major disruption that may be important 4 years from now. Let's go right away to Catherine in Berkeley, California. Hi, Catherine.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I've been a Democratic voter for years, but and I decided, you know, to start tuning into Donald Trump once Hillary Clinton, once Bernie Sanders lost the election, and I just started tuning into Donald Trump, and I am just so impressed, and especially with what he had to say tonight. He's basically standing up for America, the safety of America. I mean, our borders have been shot for, you know, so long, and I'm just so happy to hear that somebody's willing to protect our borders, and not only that, but to create some kind of law and order that will allow us to screen who's coming into our country. So that's huge for me because, I mean, if you think about it, how would ISIS people get into our country? And that is through immigration.
Catherine, thank you very much. Catherine is one pro-Trump call from Berkeley, California. There are also ISIS-inspired fighters or terrorists who seem to have cropped up, and they're American citizens. So that's a more complicated issue than just immigration. Immigration is certainly part of it. Let's go to Josh, as I keep saying, on Donald Trump's home turf in Queens. Hi, Josh.
Yes, a couple of miles from Donald Trump. And I want to ask Sandra, I'm a big Cruz supporter, but I'm also pro-Trump. And I want to know why Sandra felt that he didn't sound conservative enough. And just to give specifics, he said he was going to repeal Obamacare. Ted Cruz agrees with that. He said he's going to build a wall. Ted Cruz agrees with that. And he said that he's going to have the first 100 days in office at the head of every department give very specific items which they can cut as far as wasteful spending. Very conservative, very, very agreeable to Cruz. So what, Sandra, was not conservative enough?
All right, Josh. Thank you. Sandra Ziegler.
Well, you know, when he talks about repealing Obamacare, out of the other side of his mouth, he still expresses support for the individual mandate, which is not a Republican position at all. It's not a conservative position to say to force somebody to buy something. I mean, that's just not something we've ever held in our party. So to force somebody to buy health insurance and to tell them even what kind and what has to be covered is not a conservative position. He's held both of those things at the same time, which is inconsistent. The other thing that's very troubling, and he doubled down on in this speech, was his insistence that tariffs are somehow going to create American jobs. Starting a trade war and increasing the cost of products, of goods and services in this country is not going to bring back jobs. It's going to hurt Americans. And also insisting that he's going to punish companies that leave this country. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe we should just start calling him King Donald, because I don't know how he's going to do that without major new involvement by the federal government in the economy, which is the last thing we need in this country.
Sandra, you and I were talking briefly during the break about some of the economic promises that Donald Trump made, which included spending more on veterans, spending more on the military, helping with student loan debt. No entitlement reform. He says,
right.
Don't touch Social Security.
Absolutely.
But also lower taxes. Lower taxes is good if you're a conservative, but there's a lot of spending in there.
Sure, absolutely. And that was the other thing, is that his insistence throughout the primary that we don't need entitlement reform is just really laughable to me. It's just not serious at all. It's the worst form of pandering to me to say you could pay for all those things. And they even talked about affordable child care today, adding to the list of new goodies that we're going to get under Donald Trump.
Let's go to Dave in Brooklyn. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, hello. I want to say that very impressed with Trump's speech today. Very organized. First time I heard him so organized. But I also want to say something about Cruz's speech last night.
Go right ahead.
The people were disappointed about him not endorsing Trump. So I want to say that if you remember when Trump was very, he said on Mitt Romney that when he endorsed him, he was very happy and and now he's saying wrong things against him. And what would he do, and what would Cruz do if he would endorse him? And in 2020, when he plans on running, what
Dave,
would Trump do?
Dave, a lot of people feel like if Ted Cruz were to endorse Donald Trump, he would give up a lot of the conservative bona fides that he's earned over the last several years with conservatives like Sandra. Let's go to Charlotte in San Francisco.
I'm interested in Sandra's view of what I heard in the speech tonight. I heard a few liberal ideas come across pretty strongly. I am a liberal, and I was just shocked to hear it in the Republican convention when Ivanka talked about making sure women have proper child care when they work. I mean, these are things that raise taxes, and these are things that I believe in. And then Donald Trump mentioned something about helping the inner cities, which is something I also believe in. But they're normally not part of a Republican convention or a platform, because taxes it becomes a concern of raising taxes.
Right, Charlotte. Normally, conservatives are for lowering the taxes and shrinking government down. And
yes,
Sandra Ziegler, all throughout the campaign, a lot of this isn't new. Donald Trump didn't spring a lot of new policies tonight. Conservatives like you have been concerned about this all along.
Yeah, it's true. Although the talking about making child care affordable magically without any parameters as to what that would look like, and then. Also what he said about the about college making, it being, I don't know what her words were. Ivanka's words were something like it was unconscionable or unjust for people to come out of school with student loan debt. And so I'm not sure where they're going with that, but I think the caller's absolutely right. I heard those things too. They're not things that you normally are going to hear from a Republican nominee. And it is troubling for us conservatives. I will say, in terms of the inner city, though, Paul Ryan's been talking a lot about, needing to have policies that really help people in the inner city be upwardly mobile in his Better Way agenda. And one of those things is school choice that could really help those communities. And so that's not an un-Republican idea, helping the inner city, but those programs, I agree with you, those are not conservative.
Now, Sandra, I want to take a step back with you for just a minute, because
sure.
Everybody's been talking about Ted Cruz's speech last night. Everybody's talking about Ted Cruz's failure or refusal, I should say, to endorse Donald Trump, boot off the stage. Donald Trump came into the stadium to sort of face him down. I think we all saw that kind of Shakespearean thing play out a little bit. Now, Ted Cruz came back onto the scene this morning. He was at a breakfast in front of his own Texas delegation, of which you are a member.
Right.
And you were there right up front. I want to play a piece of tape from that breakfast, and then we're going to get your experience. Go ahead.
I will note, sir, you're making crying signs in the back. I will note, sir, that you might have a similar view if someone were attacking your wife. In fact, I hope you would. I hope you would. No, no, this is not politics. I will tell the truth. I will not malign. I will not insult. I will not attack. I will tell the truth. This is my game. It is not politics. Right and wrong matters. We have not abandoned who we are in this country. No, sir, I do not believe that is correct.
Sondra Ziegler, there was a heckler, or I shouldn't say a heckler, but somebody angry with Ted Cruz for his failure to endorse. He says this isn't a game. I'm sticking to it. What was it like?
First, let me just say, I am a Cruz-bound delegate, and I worked very hard for Ted Cruz, but there are a number of candidates I would have been perfectly happy if we came out of this convention nominating. So it's not just all about Ted Cruz, but I do very much love his policy positions, and I personally just felt like crying when he walked in the room. There was so much tension. Every media outlet that you can imagine was there in the room. Our whole Texas delegation, just to draw a picture for you, has met every morning for a couple or 3 hours, and we get speeches from different people. This just happened to be the day that Ted Cruz was scheduled to speak to our delegation. We had already heard from our other U.S. senator, other congressmen. This was his day. So the timing couldn't have been more difficult, I would say. And our delegation from Texas was split on the issue, for sure, because there are a lot of folks that, even though they worked for Ted in the primary, they're of the mind that we need to jump on the Trump train wholeheartedly and pick up the pom-poms and go with it. And he was explaining why he couldn't do that. And let me just tell you, it took an incredible amount of courage to stand up there and, with all the media in the world watching, answer those questions. And the guy that you described as a heckler, the really tough part of it is he was a delegate.
Yeah.
You know, he was probably somebody that volunteered for Cruz in the primary and who does not understand the position he's in. But the reality is there are many others of us who totally understand right where he is, because I'm there.
Sondra Ziegler, there was a symbol of this division within your delegation and within the convention earlier tonight. I was on the convention floor kind of hovering around the Texas delegation. One of your leaders or one of the guys was walking around handing out lime green hats to everybody. They were blank. Mm-hmm. And I came up to him and I said, "What's up with the lime green hats?" And he said, "Oh, we were going to wear these in case there was a floor fight. We were going to wear these for the rebellion. These were the hats of the rebellion. Now they're useless, so they're souvenirs of a failed rebellion," he said. Now, so do you know a little something about this?
Yeah, that's true. That is true. You know, if you're going to try to organize people on the floor, you've got to be able to see who your people are in all these other delegations. These are people you don't know. You've maybe never seen any of them in your life, but you got to see if they're trying to get to the microphone, if they're trying to say something. So, yeah, it was a way to be seen.
So the revolution was lime green, in other words.
It was lime green. That's
and
right.
It never happened.
Yep.
Never got off the ground. Okay, let's go to John back in Queens. Hi, John.
I'm essentially independent. I would say I'm fiscally conservative. I'm socially probably liberal for the people who need it. Nevertheless, I would say I was inspired by what he said, especially what he said in terms of work and working people, because I do believe him there. He's certainly grown up with that background. I think for the economy, it may be better than anybody else believes at this point. He's not perfect. I'm not looking for perfection. Most politicians, if I got 40% of what they promise, I'd be very satisfied.
John, thank you for your thoughts. Let's stay in New York and go to Allie. Hi, Allie.
Hi. I just see the rise of the Hitler again, and Mussolini was standing on the podium and took over our party. And just like the history repeated again, over the Jesus, we pick up a thief and thugs. You know, the gentleman like Ted Cruz was just disrespected right in our own RNC. This is
Ali. Thanks for your thought. Thanks for your thought, Ali. Let's go to C in the Bronx.
See. But I must say that the United States is longing and yearning for Donald Trump as president. I am a naturalized American, and I was not gravitated to the United States because of America's weakness. I was gravitated to the United States because of the strength of the United States. And over the years, I can see the waning of America's position, you know, on the global stage. Donald Trump, being a nationalist, has recognized that. And from all what he has said, you can see that he's on the right path in restoring this nation to what it was and what it ought to be.
See, thank you. Let's go back across New York, back to that home turf, Donald Trump land in Queens. Hi, Harry. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? Okay, yeah, I was sort of confused by his speech because it did come off sounding liberal. I'm a Democrat independent, but the thing that turned me off was NRA is wanting to go back to fossil fuel instead of exploring alternative fuels. Also is giving more political voice to religion. People are doing that on their own when they vote, but it would almost turn us into Turkey. And also education, I'm not totally sure about charter schools. And with regard to penalizing corporations for leaving the United States, Germany has been doing that for a number of years. If a company moves their manufacturing to another country, they owe like 7 years back tax breaks. And they have to leave some cash behind for all the employees there that are losing their jobs.
Right. Harry in Queens, I want to thank you for your call. Sandra Ziegler, I want to touch on Ted Cruz quickly before we go for this hour. Where do you think he stands for 2020? That seems to be what this is about for him.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I see all these doomsday comments. And what I asked my delegation to consider this morning in trying to explain where those of us who are not big Donald Trump supporters is that Ted was offering, he was articulating a way forward for conservatives to join forces and help our party win in November. And I think that ultimately he will be vindicated.
He'll be vindicated if Donald Trump loses this election. He's making a gamble, I think, that Donald Trump is going to lose. Because if Donald Trump loses, Ted Cruz is the guy who would have preserved conservatism, preserved purity, and never fell for the Trump phenomenon in the Republican Party. And he will be the man standing if that happens. That's an if. That's Sandra Ziegler, pro-Cruz delegate, who's joined me. There's plenty of stuff to come. And we're here all next week, also in Philadelphia at the Democratic National Convention. And we're going to take your calls now and then 800-543-2543 for the takeaway. This is Todd Zwillick.
Call with Todd Zwillick. Call us on 1-800-543-2543. That's 1-800-543-2543.
It is time to show the whole world that America is back. My pledge reads, I'm with you, the American people. We are going to build a great border wall. I have seen firsthand how the system is rigged. In this race for the White House, I am the law and order candidate. Friends, delegates, and fellow Americans, I humbly and gratefully accept your nomination for the presidency of the United States.
Donald Trump accepting the nomination of the Republican Party at the Republican National Convention here in Cleveland earlier tonight, just a few moments ago. This is Convention Call live from the Republican National Convention. I'm Todd Zwillick. Thank you for joining our continuing coverage a little bit late into the night after the convention has finally wrapped up. They're out there popping balloons and trying to get them down to a manageable size so they can get them cleaned up off the floor. The confetti, the balloons, and everything else that dropped from the ceiling on the final moments of this Republican National Convention. With me is Sandra Ziegler from Texas, from the Texas delegation, from the floor. Her Texas cowboy hat is right next to her on the chair. That's right, Sandra. You're a pro pro-cruise delegate. Yep. Sandra is taking your calls along with me on 800-543-2543. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Ted Cruz Legions and the cruise experience on the floor and in the caucus rooms this week, because this was a convention that had more real intrigue and actually more real news than any other convention I can remember in my entire career, and really in the careers of almost anyone else I talked to, well, going back to 1976 at least, and I wasn't there, I promise. Vicky is in New Jersey. Hi, Vicky.
Hi, how are you? Good evening.
Go right ahead.
I'm a Democrat supporter, and after I heard all what Donald Trump said about, I feel insulted as an immigrant that he attacks only Mexicans, creating or building, he's going to create a wall to separate the United States from Mexico. What about from Canada? For him, it's only Mexican. I'm from South America, and I feel as an insult to every single successful immigrant in this country, because this country is built and it will be in the future from immigrants. Without immigrants, this country won't function. If you remove all the people that clean, the maintenance people, the people that do the lawn, the people that, I'm sorry for the expression, to clean toilets, bathrooms in this country, those jobs won't be filled. Because
Vicky, thanks for your call. Vicky, we appreciate hearing from you from New Jersey. Let's go to Matt, who my board says is calling from Australia. Matt.
Hi.
Matt, it's great to have you all the way from Australia. Go ahead.
Thanks for having me up. Look, I was just listening to the speech just now and all of the rhetoric about China. And I have to say, you know, obviously trade agreements are important and all that kind of stuff, but As a citizen of a country that's a strong ally of the United States, we live next to China. And it's a little bit scary to hear somebody with all that bombastic kind of, you know, hoo-ha going on about a really big economy that this, you know, we need to work with at least in the region, because it's going to make the world a very difficult place if you try to cut China out of the workings of the global machine. I mean, that's not to say that China's perfect. I'm not a defender of a lot of the stuff that China gets on with, but you can't just tell China to go and jump off the end of the pier. Like you've got to work with them better than that. I mean, people in Australia, we're terrified of that guy.
Yeah, Matt, and I want to ask you about that, because there's been lots of reporting in this country from myself and a lot of other people about how foreign governments, foreign citizens, foreign embassies are rattled by what they hear Donald Trump say about world order and geopolitics and the balance of power. Has that reached Australia, too? You said people are terrified?
Oh, look, I think so. I mean, you know, we've been following it very closely, obviously. As a country, everyone's talking about Trump here. But yeah, look, I think it's got everyone rattled, and it's really important. I think it's great. You know, it's important that the American people obviously unify and take on all of the challenges that that country has to face. But you've got to remember that you are a world citizen. The rest of us are out here, and you know, I've got to say, people are scared. People are quaking in their boots. Just it's what's going to happen to the rest of us in the rest of
Matt,
the world. You know,
Matt, it's a pleasure to have you listening and contacting us all the way from Australia. That's nice to hear. Let's go to Paul, a little closer to home in Portchester. Hi, Paul.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. In his speech, Donald Trump said that he would protect the LGBTQ community from foreign ideology, but said nothing about protecting them from domestic ideology.
Well, Paul, we have a clip of that. Let's listen to that, and then we'll get some reaction.
Okay.
As your president, I will do everything in my power to protect our LGBTQ citizens from the violence and oppression of a hateful foreign ideology. Believe me.
So, Paul, it's a little unusual to hear the acronym LGBTQ at all at a Republican convention, but Donald Trump put this in the context of terrorism, really, and foreign terrorism.
Yes, but, you know, we've had the one incident of a foreign-related attack on the LGBTQ community, but we've had a number of attacks that are more domestic in nature. And so I'm wondering, you know, why, you know, would, how would the Republican Party, the Republican platform, address the issue of domestic violence against the LGBTQ community, you know, after
Paul,
this sort of announcement?
Paul, thanks for your call. The Republican platform does not address violence against LGBTQ people, foreign or domestic, as far as I know. I don't think it makes any mention of it in the platform. But, Sandra Ziegler, times have changed at a Republican convention. There have been certain mentions throughout the speeches of not judging people based on whom they love, sort of these these allusions to gay rights. This is the nominee using, frankly, an acronym that I have never heard before at a Republican convention, even though it's in the context of terrorism. That's new in this party.
I think you're right. I definitely think you're right about that. And I have, I did notice, and I couldn't tell you which speakers it was, but I've we have heard some mention of that throughout. And I guess I would say to the caller, though, that, there's speech issues, and then there's just violence and actually violating people's rights. And I think our party has a very strong record of saying, you know, that those issues we believe are states' rights issues. So if you live in a state where, you know, people want, you know, these types of benefits, or, you know, gay marriage or whatever, that that was the stance of the Republican Party, is that it's a states' rights issue and that it should stay that way. But
well, that's a recent stance of the Republican Party, because they also sponsored a constitutional amendment banning it, and those proposals have been on the floor of Congress many times.
Banning. Yes, that's true. They did want to have a constitutional amendment at one point. But to me, it's a states' rights issue, and that goes back to government overreach and federalism and the 10th Amendment and separation of the federal government from the states.
At the same time, that language is new, Sandra, in the Republican convention. And I wonder if we're not now seeing, the Republican platform doesn't mention this, but for a Republican convention to be referring to this, there seems to be some understanding, not a complete capitulation, if I'll call it that, but some understanding of letting this recognition creep into the Republican consciousness in a way that's never been there before.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that entirely. And, I mean, I think it's fair to say that while it's not been there before, you know, we're reflecting the larger culture there.
Times are changing. The Supreme Court has ruled, and the culture has changed very rapidly on this. And I think that's evident by seeing these many mentions that we saw at this convention. The number to call is 800-543-2543 on WNYC. We're taking your calls, 800-543-2543, and we want to hear from you. Ruben is in Brooklyn. Hi, Ruben.
How are you doing? Thank you for accepting my call.
Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. And the greatest thing is, when Donald Trump loses, because he's not going to win, he's going to be just like Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is another loser. And on top of that, Donald Trump is criticizing the Muslims and the Mexicans, but his wife doesn't even speak good English herself. Could you understand what she was saying when she was talking on the show the other day? Yesterday?
Yes, I could. I understood her perfectly, Ruben.
Not me. I'm like, listen, and I speak very good English. I'm like, wow.
All right. Ruben, thanks for your call from Brooklyn. Sandra, if Donald Trump loses this election, he will be a loser, the thing that he decries the most. I think it's the thing he least wants to be. Ted Cruz is a loser right now because he didn't win, but we talked about how his speech last night is betting on him actually winning in the end.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. There's been an incredible amount of pressure at this convention for everybody to just fall in line. And so the people who I've said, like myself, who can't pick up the pom-poms for Donald Trump, but we love our party and we believe that our vision for America is better than what the Democrats have to offer, and that it will create jobs and, you know, lead to a safer environment, you know, seal the border, enforce our immigration laws, all that stuff. Ted came into that convention hall and, no, I didn't expect him to endorse Donald Trump. And Donald Trump knew he was not going to endorse Donald Trump. He congratulated him on locking up the nomination, and he proceeded to talk about a number of the things that have been central to Donald Trump's platform. He talked about building the wall and how terrible the Iran deal was, and that we need to be stronger on the world stage and not make these terrible international deals. I mean, he reflected as much of Donald Trump's platform as he could in good conscience support. I think he went as far toward Donald Trump as he could go without dishonoring his wife and his husband and his dad. And what's interesting to me as a conservative who can't totally embrace Donald Trump is that there's a lot of people that stand where I stand. And he actually did Donald Trump a favor last night. He articulated a way forward for people like me to be able to say, okay, I can't embrace that man, and I don't want to campaign for him as a person, but I will campaign for my party and these ideas right here that I believe in. And so he was doing what he could to unify our party, and they just don't seem to get it at all.
Sandra, one delegate that I talked to from Colorado who's of a similar mind to you said, you know, vote your conscience. Why is everybody around here so defensive? If vote your conscience means vote Donald Trump, then do it. Why does everyone think that's such an insult?
Oh, absolutely. It is pretty ironic that they take such great offense, the Trump people do, to suggesting that you should vote your conscience. In fact, some people have gone so far as to tweet out, this is not a time to vote your conscience, which I find indefensible. I just don't understand that at all. But I thought Ted Cruz did Donald Trump a favor. They didn't understand it because they don't understand where people like me are coming from. And I think Ted Cruz is going to survive this. I really do.
Well, let's talk about whether or not Ted Cruz survives this and what happens if he does. Let's go back onto the floor just for a minute and back inside the Texas delegation. You and I talked about the green hats that were getting passed out, the green revolution.
Right.
I want to play you a cut from a fellow named Bill Eastland. He's from Arlington, Texas. He's one of your co-Texas delegates. He's a Cruz man. And he was sort of describing what he feels like is the way forward for the green revolution, if we can call it that, that failed. Listen.
We must continue to fight for our principles in the conservative movement, within the Republican Party, so that eventually we can win. That's what this is all about. I am a committed warrior in that fight. I have been there for a long time.
So the revolution?
The revolution continues. The revolution is not going to end until we win or we get thoroughly defeated and we become slaves. Spartacus.
Sandra Ziegler, Spartacus?
Yeah. A lot of great warriors in this movement. I'll just say that. Absolutely.
Right. That's how it was on the floor. The Green Revolution, those lime green hats you saw on the floor, those were supposed to be revolutionary hats, folks. It never happened. Let's go to Randy in Westchester. Hi, Randy.
Hi. Donald Trump will win in November. He has won in everything that he's done. The media has been against him. The man doesn't need George Herbert Walker, George W. He doesn't want those people there. Cruz should be ashamed of himself. You cannot vote for Hillary Clinton. She's a pathological liar. She has accomplished nothing. She's as crooked as could be. They pardoned Mark Rich for billions of dollars. Everything they've done. How could anybody vote for Hillary? Donald Trump will win this election. There is no way in the world. Every friend of mine is voting for Donald Trump. I run a corporation of 5,000 people. Every single one of them said they cannot vote for Hillary.
Randy, thanks for your call from Westchester. We'll see if there's any way that Donald Trump can lose this election. He's trailing by a bit in the polls right now, and that can absolutely change. The number for you to call is 800-543-2543. I'm interested in your sort of overall picture at the end of the night, really at the end of the convention, your overall impressions of the last 4 days that you saw, because I know that you were paying pretty close attention to the speeches as you've been calling in these last four nights on convention call. Yehura Spitz from NYC.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a simple question. I'm a very pro-Cruz fan since his first days before he even, was blown his numbers. My question is, if Ted Cruz would have said, I fully endorse Donald Trump, does that mean that he supports him and holds he is the right person to run as a president? Or that means he is the less of the two evils? I'm going to pick Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton.
That's interesting, and that's sort of when you get down to real politics, whether, you know, picking the lesser of two evils works, or Sandra Ziegler, whether defeating Hillary Clinton is the most important thing. Ted Cruz seemed to make kind of a choice there.
Well, there's a lot of people who supported Ted Cruz who would have been alienated by a choice to wholeheartedly give a full-throated endorsement of Donald Trump. And what's interesting to me is that Donald Trump's people and even the environment of the convention could not appreciate any shade of support, any show of support that was anything short of saying the word, "I endorse Donald Trump." And I just think that's silly. I mean, there was no way he was going to walk in there and endorse Donald Trump. And Donald Trump knew he wasn't going to endorse Donald Trump. And Trump's floor whips were encouraging the booing on the floor. They were encouraging the booing. It goes along. There is a narrative here of just thuggery. I would call it thuggery on the part of the Trump campaign and even a lot of Trump supporters, where dissent is not allowed. You're either 100% on board behind Donald Trump and you pick up the pom-poms and you're leading the parade, or you are squashed.
One of the dangers, Sandra, that you and I have talked about is that if foot soldiers like you, even if you wind up voting for Trump because you don't want Hillary to be president of the United States, that foot soldiers like you who are willing to spend their time and money to work for a candidate are just not going to do it this time around. And that's a big danger for Donald Trump if this continues.
You're right. It is a big danger. And there's a lot of folks who are those foot soldiers who feel the way that I do. And so we'll see.
Let's go to Anthony in New Jersey. Hi, Anthony.
All I can say is epic. It was radical. Let me explain to you what was so amazing about the phenomenon we saw tonight. Any politician can make promises, and the only reason why they're doing it is because they have personal gain. Donald Trump is someone who is giving up from his life and his business, and the only reason that's possible to imagine why he would do it is because he really cares about us. And you can hear it in every word he said in his speech. I was so impressed. And I'm not really a Donald Trump guy, but now when I heard this, I am all for him. I heard it in the way he spoke. He really cares about every single American.
Anthony, you're so enthusiastic that I'm going to guess you weren't just won over tonight by one speech, but I take your point. Let's go to Melissa in Queens. Hi, Melissa.
Oh, yes, hi. My question is, as I'm 21 years old, and this is my second election I've ever, presidential election I've ever voted in, and I haven't seen a lot of, throughout this this convention, a lot of the Republicans going after the youth, trying to, first of all, inspire them to vote, but also just getting them out there and, like, addressing us as a group.
Melissa, I heard Donald Trump mentioned, I think for the first time that I heard him mention, he may have mentioned it before if I missed it, the need to help get students out from under college loan debt. That's only one of many, many issues that young people are concerned about, but that was one thing.
Yes,
all right, go ahead.
I totally understand that, but I'm also saying with, it's not only just about student loans for us, and it's other things, and we just don't really hear a lot of these politicians really addressing, your vote matters and we really need you to get out there and make a difference. We're not really hearing that a lot from these politicians this election.
Melissa, thank you for your call from Queens. Let's go up to Westchester County. Frank is in New Rochelle. Hi, Frank.
Hi, it's Fran. How are you?
I'm well.
The speeches by Ivanka and by Donald Trump tonight were, I think, amazing. A year ago, I didn't think he had any chance to be the nominee of the party. I've been a lifelong Democrat. I didn't particularly care for Hillary, but now I am so much a Trump supporter. I've followed him through the primaries, and many of the comments I think he made tonight will bring in many of the voters who had been on the fence or on the other side, such as the African Americans, the Latinos, for his comments about economic prosperity and more jobs, and also the LGBTQ community. And I
Fran and New Rochelle, thanks for the call. Fran also referring back to the thing that we heard for the first time tonight in an acceptance speech for the Republicans, mention of the LGBTQ community. Jane is in South Carolina listening online. Hi, Jane.
Hi. I have been on the fence. I'm generally a third-party person. There is no registration by party in South Carolina, so I crossed over to the Democratic side and voted for Bernie because I do not like Hillary Clinton. But watching tonight, I decided that I am going to hold my nose and vote for Donald Trump. I'm not crazy about him, but I think that he is probably the right person at this time.
What has you convinced, Jane, that he's the right person at this time?
He's a good actor. The way I thought he handled Ted Cruz was brilliant. I mean, Ted Cruz may have been upholding principle, but just his presence on stage, and I'm not a conservative, I'm a libertarian. Ted Cruz gives me the creeps. He's got a creeperosaurus personality.
Ted Cruz isn't running for president anymore. So
that's right. And if he were, the Republicans would have definitely lost. But Donald Trump let him get up on stage and say his piece, and then gave him enough rope to hang himself with. And then he timed it to walk in and take it away from him, which was a actor move. It was sort of underhanded, but.
Right.
You know, Ted walked right into that. It's political.
Jane, thank you for your call. An actor move from Donald Trump. Hey, you haven't had an actor in office since Ronald Reagan. It could work. Mark is in Manhattan. Go ahead, Mark.
Yes, my point is about Cruz, what he did last night. I respect what he did last night. I did not like him before. But what he did show me, clearly, this is a man who has courage, you know. What he did make me think, you know, next time if he wants to run for president, I will vote for him.
Sandra Ziegler, Mark is talking about something that's going to be important for Ted Cruz, mm-hmm. that the next time if he comes up again, this show of courage and steadfastness may serve him in this gamble that he's making.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he's counting on that. But I also think, it would have been the easiest thing in the world for him to just say the words, you know, I endorse Donald Trump, and he couldn't bring himself to do it, and he's caught hell for it. And I do think it was courageous on his part. I agree with the caller on that.
Trevor in Brooklyn, go ahead.
Yes, good night. I respect the issues that Donald Trump put forward, but his supporters should understand that these things don't necessarily have to come about because Mr. Trump would not, if he wins the election, would not be a one-man government. He has to work with the Congress and other people, so they should at least take that into consideration. And it's unfortunate that he's bashing Hillary as a liar, and I'm sure that he's more a liar than every other candidate. Thank you.
It is always an issue when politicians make broad promises about their intentions. It's easy to forget that they have to deal with the Congress, and probably a Congress where many of the members are not of their own party, and that means lots of compromises or potential stagnation. We've seen enough of that in the last couple of years. Robert is in Brooklyn. Hi, Robert.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to weigh in. I think that Trump is a magnificent con man and no more. He has a talent for articulating the frustrations and anger of the American public. So does my next-door neighbor. Neither one is qualified to be president. Thank you.
Robert, thanks for the laugh. Let's stay in Brooklyn. Jeff, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to say I'm listening to all these callers calling with things saying how much they love Trump now after what he said, and that's just terrifying to me. I saw a convention of fear-mongering and hatred, and I mean it was kind of terrifying to watch, and then there's no answers. He says all these policies, but there's no why. How are you going to do it? How are you going to? The only answer he's got is the wall of China.
Jeff, anyway, thanks for your call. Sandra, Jeff, I appreciate the call. Sandra, were there points in this convention where you thought from the floor that it may have been too negative? It was playing to the base, but was it too dark at times for you, or did you think the message was right on?
I definitely had that feeling at different times, I would have to say. I agree with that. You know, the type of optimism that someone like Paul Ryan exudes when he speaks, I thought we could have done with a whole lot more of that. And but I guess their polling must show that, you know, fear and anger are, you know, what sells today. But fear, you know, I just don't think good decisions are usually made out of fear on in almost any realm of life.
And it, but it is an effective political strategy.
It is, and he's harnessing it. And but the scary part of it is, just because he's tapped into it, doesn't mean that he's the answer to it. And so, you know, I have to deal with the fact that he's our party's nominee now.
Let's go to Terry in Westchester. Hi, Terry.
Hi. What I don't understand about this male person, I normally call men gentlemen, but I can't bring myself. What I don't understand is how people can square his scripted comments tonight, which sound, while not rational, at least reasonable, somewhat even tempered, compared to his previous behaviors, which are those of a bully and a thug. He's stolen ideas from the Democratic platform in order to pander, and he manipulates them how it suits him. But he has no real ideas. He has no real solutions. And how do people square his previously atrocious behavior toward women, toward labor, the fact that he's a billionaire and responsible for the economic disparities that have brought this country to such a terrible, terrible spasm?
Sandra, thank you for your call. We're going to wrap up in just a minute here. We want to hear from Donald Trump one more time before we go.
To all Americans tonight, in all of our cities and in all of our towns, I make this promise. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And we will make America great again. God bless you and good night. I love you.
I want to thank you for joining us all this week on Convention Call live from the Republican National Convention. We are in Philadelphia next week for the Democratic National Convention with you every night. I want to thank my guest, Sandra Ziegler from Texas, the pro-Cruz delegate who took us inside her delegation. It's been a pleasure spending this week with you. I'm Todd Zwillick. This is Convention Call from The Takeaway.